Okay, we are back. We are back. And for the first time in like a month, I've got my partner, Andrea Gray, on the podcast again. Hey, Dre.
Hey, what's up? It's been a minute.
I know. A lot of it is my fault. I've been on the road. I was in Atlanta. I was in Chicago. And actually, right now, I'm in Eugene, Oregon. And we finally got
on. Oh, you're still there. Cool.
Yeah. I'm at the, you call it U20.
U20s,
the world U20s. These are the track championships for the world for every athlete under 20 years old. Is that, did I say that right?
Yes, you did. So for the people, yes, that's the right description. But to other track people, you're at U20s. They know what you're talking about.
Boom. That's it. Straight like that.
Yeah.
And we have a bunch of new track clients. Some really, really talented sprinters. And I will say, this has been, like, I haven't been to a big track meet like this ever. Mm-hmm. I've only been to stuff that I've run in, and my stuff never as big as this. So this is like a really, really big deal to be here. Quincy Wilson, I got a chance to see him run, and he lost. But yo, what's crazy, three runners ran under 45 seconds. Like all
That's
three.
Bananas.
All ran 44s.
Like, it's bananas.
Yeah. No, and the kid that he lost to was in 11th grade and also from Maryland. Like, it's just absolutely bananas. But we had the Americans swept the 100 in the men's and the women's, which hasn't happened, I think, in like 10 years. Mm-hmm. So it's a big deal. It's a big deal. Very exciting track meet. And a beautiful track, facility.
Oh, you're in track town.
Yeah. Have you been to Eugene, to the University of Oregon?
We went for a Junior Olympics a few years ago with Arden.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, this is how track
it is,
was
an
meant
impeccable
to be run.
Facility. The practice track is better than some colleges' regular track. Like, it's beautiful.
Yeah. And
it's
the crazy,
a beautiful facility.
And the crazy thing is, it's like, you could tell, like, track just doesn't get the respect it deserves in this country, really. Because, like, why am I just now seeing this beautiful facility? And why is none of this televised? Like, all the European outlets and media are there, and none of the American outlets are there.
Yeah.
It's like it matters to everybody but us.
It's the peak of Major League Baseball season. You got WNBA. You got football camp starting for NFL and college.
Nah, you making excuses.
I'm just
Dre,
what it is.
I've been watching ESPN. They're showing.
I'm telling you what people say.
Yeah, they're showing darts right now. I watched the 2024 championship of something called Flip Golf. Have you ever seen Flip Golf?
Never even heard of it.
There's
That's a real
even,
thing?
There's even a competition called Slippery Stairs that ESPN is going to air. Like, you mean to tell me that track and
so
field?
So it's not even like one of the ESPN deep channels that like no one
no,
watches
like regular
it's probably
ESPN.
Streaming, but yeah.
So track and field gets no respect in this country, and it's a shame. And I'm just glad like that, you know, on the world stage that they care about track and field. The athletes have NIL endorsement deals with all the sneaker companies, and you know, it's just a great thing for them. But I just wish that it got more respect. I got to see triple jumps for the first time. I've never seen triple jump in person because they didn't have triple jump in our day.
Yeah. Very it's just now coming stuff. Down to the high school level in certain places.
Yeah. And I will say your daughter's close.
Like, you see men or women or both?
I saw both, and you're like they measure everything in meters, so I don't know the exact, but I was running the calculator. I was like, oh, your daughter could be here. Like that
was me.
yeah.
No, so, she didn't qualify this year. She had some teammates that qualified in other events, but it becomes a business decision, right? Like if you're believing that you can medal or really make an impact or reach a different goal, then you find the money to go there. But, you know, it becomes a business decision at a certain point. But there's definitely some athletes from on the men and women's side at Hampton who qualified for U20s this year.
Yeah. Dope. Okay. So
it's all good though.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's a good time. But yo, we also got to announce a little transition that's happening. Dre is making a move and I'm super excited about it. And as a result, Dre's going to be stepping back from the podcast a little bit. Still will be on air, just maybe a little less frequently. And in the meantime, I'll be out here slumming, trying to figure out how to keep a podcast together. No, I'm just joking. Now we got some new exciting things.
You are not slumming. I have listened and you have had some incredible guests on.
I appreciate that. So let's talk about that for a little bit. So why don't you make your announcement?
So I have merged my practice with a different company, which means I'm technically no longer with Momentum Advisors. Just some opportunities to deliver in a different way. And, you know, it was a business decision, not a personal one. If anyone is concerned, Alan and I are still good. All of my Momentum family, we're all still good. I think of it like physicians who are at the same medical practice, and some feel like there's a different system that works better for them than the one they're in. And, you know, clients are the same, patients are the same. How we deliver for that are very similar. The biggest change is for me, not for them. And it's just a better outcome for what I want to do long term with my financial advising career. So, you know, it's really simple. It's not complicated. There's no beef. We're good. We're good. Momentum is still a very special place. What you've built, my friend, is indeed special. And, you know, I'm still rooting for the family.
I appreciate you. And the way I look at it, and I'm super proud of you too. You know, I look at it, yeah, you're merging your practice with another firm, but it's almost like you're starting an independent firm that is Andrea Gray, and you get to shape it the way you want to shape it. And I love that for you.
That is an even better description than what I came up with. It's very early. Alan and I've been trying to sync our schedules for a couple of days. Sis was in the chair getting knotless box braids for a long time yesterday.
Yeah.
So, but yes, that's an even better description. It is not the same as founding a firm the way you did, but it's as close to it as I'm willing to do at this point in my career. So thank you for that, for recognizing it that way. Because
I love that for you.
That's pretty much what it is.
Yeah, and I love that for you. We've had a lot of folks come into Momentum and then leave and start their own firms or go do some great things. And what I love is that we had a chance to be together for a while and learn from one another. And I also love that you're still going to be on the podcast from time to time. And I appreciate that because you really are my sister and I love you so much. I know the love is mutual and you will be missed in the times you're not here, but also you are appreciated. I want to just give you your flowers right now and just say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You joined the firm after the pandemic at a time when you had just finished mourning and you're probably still mourning the death of your father. And, you know, you had kids going off to college, Ivy League tuition to pay for, and you took a gamble leaving a big bulge bracket firm like Merrill Lynch to join, you know, a smaller firm in Momentum. Mm-hmm. And you really made your mark on the firm in so many ways that will never go away. And you've made your mark on this podcast in so many ways that will never be erased. And I just thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And I'm so proud. And I just wish you the best with everything that you touch. I pray that everything that you ever touch will be blessed. And I already know that that's God's plan for you.
I appreciate you so much. We are we're forever connected. So you're not getting rid of me that easily.
That's it.
Not that was ever the goal. That was never the goal. But hearing those words are just super, super appreciated. So
I appreciate you too.
Keep doing your thing. Much success to both of us. It's all good.
Yeah, it is.
I came to this podcast, most of our longtime listeners know, a little reluctantly because I don't know if I ever described this publicly, like I didn't want to be the new Aunt Viv, right? In terms of how people were going to respond. You want to
be light-skinned Aunt Viv?
Yeah, listen, that's my Sora. I met her, Daphne Maxwell Reed. So I have nothing but love for her. But I just mean in terms of people's perception of who this.
Yeah.
You know how our people are.
Yeah.
So I was a little apprehensive about it, but it's been an amazing, fun, cool opportunity. And I'm going to tell you something. I know we have real advice to get to. When I talk to my clients who were like, yay, great for you. We're all good. Their very next question was, well, what's going to happen with the podcast?
Yeah.
And that was like, remains to be seen. I said, we're working on it. So here we are. So thank you for bringing me into this space.
Yeah, no, for sure. But one thing I'll tell you, Dre, is like, the podcast is like, it's bigger than me and you, because it's a way for our community to understand the financial world, to understand financial literacy. And like, that's why we're doing this. And that's why, you know, you've done it for so long. And I got to give you your shout. So the podcast officially launched with the first Aunt Viv in November of 2020. And we've had a total of 278 episodes so far. Today is 279. And Dre, you've been rocking since April 21st of 2024. That was your first episode. And so this is your 107th episode. I don't know if you realize this. That's 107 hours worth of recording behind a mic that you didn't ask to be on. That's 38%. Right. Yeah, that's 38% of all the episodes that we've done. And we've had over 518,375 downloads of the podcast since inception. And we average something like every single day, almost 300 people are downloading the podcast. And you've been a part of almost half of it. And I appreciate you for that. When you see these stats on the screen, does it
never measured it. I only remember when I started, I'd never considered how many people listened, how many hours of recording. I felt it. It just wasn't something I thought about. I've never looked at it this way.
And some of your top shows.
And part of that too is because of what it is, right? We are educating people. Do we occasionally get some opportunities that we may not have had for the podcast? Yes.
Sure we do.
But
sure we do.
Our primary goal is to educate people. In mass.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And because that's a mutual goal, you know, that's what's kind of kept it going. Yeah. And I think we feed off of each other well, too.
Oh, for
sure. Most of the time. Some days we're not on the same page, but that's with any pairing.
Yeah. I don't know about those not on the same page.
Like, Alan be like, Dre, did you look at the notes? And I'm like, yeah. So we have to come up with a title. He's like, they're in the notes.
Okay. I agree
right
with
there
you
in
on
front
that.
Of you. Like, I'm like, we should call this. It's like, we did.
Yeah, that's always funny when you come up with the title and it's already the title. That's always hilarious. So some of the top episodes that Dre's been a part of, Option Trading for Dummies is number one for you, Dre. That's been the highest downloaded show that you've been a part of. Yep. Number two is the Sister Tax. Number three, and Sister Tax is when we talked about your debut. It's when we talked about the fact that there's a huge income gap for women, and we use the WNBA as a lens to examine that gap. And we're still seeing it. You know, we're seeing so much happening with women's sports and so much inequity. And that was your first
debut.
But
we've come a long way, specifically in the WNBA with the collective bargaining agreement and the deal that was reached earlier this year. So some ways to go, but that was huge.
Yeah, for sure. Way better, but way far to go still. Your next biggest episode, Dre, your next biggest hit. I'm going through Dre's biggest hits. And we do have a show, by the way. We are going to get to it after the break. We are going to leave you with some great, great content for today. But just reminiscing with Dre for a little bit. So Financial Literacy to Financial Fluency is a show we did.
One.
That's when we quizzed you on the spot. And you, like a G, took
it. I'm proud of that one though, because I think I really did come up with the term. It's a term that I use in my practice, and I have been for a while. Good to great.
Yeah. Word.
I'm set.
Next one was the questions. And I truly don't remember the questions that well. I think it was like questions that we needed to figure out in the economy.
It was some of the most popular or most common questions that we get from clients.
Okay. Got you.
And yep. we answered them.
Yes. Okay. See?
Proud of that one too. That was.
And then finally, America is on fire. This was in February of 2025, a little over a year ago. And that's when we had the Altadena fires, but we also had a bomb threat at Hampton University. And we were just talking about the racial climate, which that is not slowing down. That is
So that wasn't at that time yet. That happened last September. America on fire was, yes, the wildfires, the Altadena fires, but also right after the current president's beginning of his second term.
Yeah, that's what it was.
I only remember because the whole threat to campus thing, we're coming up on the 1 year anniversary. That was after Charlie Kirk was
murdered. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. That's exactly right. Yep. After Charlie Kirk. Good memory, Dre. And then finally,
well, it's also a sign that I like the fire's still burning.
Yeah. Word.
It's hard to distinguish which fire we're referring to because there's been so many.
And on that note, we didn't start the fire. Yeah. It was always burning since the world's been turned. All right. And then finally, we got money conversations with Jack and Jill. And that was
a
live taping we did with your organization that you are. What do you call yourself now? An alumni mom?
An associate member.
Yeah.
Yes.
The grand basilisk mom you are of Jack and Jill.
but I understand what you're saying, but I graduated as with many others, but yeah.
Yeah. So we've had some good times and we're going to continue to have some good times. You know, I'll have some new potential co-hosts that I'm talking to. I'll have some guests. I might do some episodes solo as well, and we'll mix it up and you'll still get some great content. So on that note, today's show is going to be about Dre's parting advice for how do we survive the rest of this administration? Like, we've seen Surviving R. Kelly and, you know, the Diddy documentary, but we are in the midst of a truly historic moment as American citizens with the current presidential administration. And we just got to take note of everything. I know there's a lot of stuff to be upset about, but there's also some opportunities that we need to make sure we are taking advantage of while we have the time. And so we'll go to break. When we come back, we'll get into that content of how to survive this administration. I'm Alan Boomer.
I'm Andrea Gray.
And we are the Momentum Advisors. So, Dre, we have a midterm election around the corner. And I know that's a topic in itself. But what it signifies is we're also about halfway through this presidential administration. And with that, there's nothing that we can do to get a new president, even though there's a lot we can do to, you know, change the House and the Senate. And I do think there's a big chance that at a minimum, the House flips and maybe the Senate flips too. But in the meantime, we are kind of stuck with this administration and we have to figure out how to survive it. So what we want to do today is talk a little bit about some of the observations that we're seeing with the current administration and then give some tips and strategies on ways that you can kind of profit from it. Because one thing that's very obvious, the president and his friends and family are literally lining their pockets with money.
Literally.
They've made billions of dollars. Everything from cryptocurrency to real estate to, like, they're investing in data centers. Like, I'm talking about Trump and his friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying, like, look, we are, there's so many distractions going on, right? Like, it's like, hey, let's, you know, look over here. Like, you know what I mean? It's almost like, look over there. But meanwhile, on this side, they're robbing you blind, right? Yeah. But at the same time, they're creating, like, policies and things that if you're paying attention, you could also benefit from.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Cause, like, yeah, they're lining their pockets, but, like, I do think there's a chance for us to participate a little bit as well.
Absolutely. And we have to be, and we'll get into this as we get into advice, but not every move they make is the move that we or our listeners should make. Right. It's not a one for one, like they did this, so I'm going to do this. It's not that. It's really understanding what's happening. And understanding how our economy works, but also how the markets work, which they may not necessarily be in lockstep the way that we are used to seeing.
Before we get started, I always got to give our disclaimer. This podcast is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered personalized financial investment, tax, or legal advice. Is that fair?
Yep.
All right. So let's get into it. So first things first, we've seen a really, really strong environment for the stock market.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say globally, first of all, like when we look at, like, just looking at this year alone, the best performing market in the world has been emerging markets. It's not the U.S. Like the U.S. is fine. The U.S. market is up almost 10%. The emerging markets like China, Korea, Taiwan, like these, Latin America, these markets are on fire in a good way.
In a good way.
Yeah, they're up. The emerging markets are up double what the U.S. market is up.
Not us saying that at the exact same time.
I told you, we're
some things we haven't missed a beat, right?
So we're seeing higher stock prices. We're seeing higher corporate earnings. And the corporate earnings are really going up for a lot of reasons. But one is the aggressive tax cuts that have been made. And a lot of those go to businesses, of course, and to high income earners. But we're also seeing like some really friendly tax accounting treatments. So one example would be this 100% bonus depreciation under Section 179. And some people have no idea what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. But there was a provision that allows for companies to make investments and to write off 100% of those investments in year one, as opposed to amortizing them over the course of 5 or 7 or 30 years. And that is causing folks to be able to make investments and get a bigger return on investment from a tax perspective a lot earlier. That affects small businesses. It also affects publicly traded companies. And so this is a big hallmark of this administration is these tax cuts and figuring out ways for companies to and yourself to profit from them. Other things we're seeing, a lot of deregulation, especially especially in energy
or ignoring regulations.
Yeah.
Same effect.
Yeah. Yep. Deregulation in energy, in banking, in tech, in AI infrastructure. And as a result of less regulations, those particular industries doing really, really well with their earnings.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, we're just holding up the mirror, telling you what we're seeing. We're not telling you to go invest this way. We're saying, like, look, while we're upset about a lot of the social things, we might be upset about the mass deportations, the closing of our borders, just the degradation of our social fabric.
Yeah.
But we also got to pay attention to the economic things that are happening right now.
That's right.
Holding up the mirror. So we're seeing the large tech companies like investing big capital in artificial intelligence. Mm-hmm. And a big part of that is this bonus depreciation aspect as well. We're also seeing, margins, profit margins are expanding. Part of that is from lower regulations, lower compliance burdens, lower taxes. All these things are making profit margins for public companies expand. We're also seeing a lot of domestic protection. So actually, I ran into a guy in Eugene who trades lumber. He's a commodities trader, and he's Canadian. And he was basically saying, like, these tariffs, yeah, everybody's complaining, but, like, it's really supporting the U.S. lumber industry, right?
Have you had a chance to experience the trees in Oregon? I don't know if you've traveled much outside of...
They're crazy. They're the biggest trees.
It's beautiful. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. They're, like, super wide, super tall.
Tall.
Yeah, I'm staying at an Airbnb, like, walking distance from the track field. And at night, they're menacing. Like, like, there's not a lot of streetlights. And my punk butt was running from cars. Like, these cars ain't thinking about me. I'm hiding behind stuff. I'm like, man, these jokers ain't about to get me. Yeah.
Yeah. Not a lot of hotels in the area, by the way. It's almost like I've never been to the stadium where the Packers play, but it's kind of like in the middle of a residential neighborhood. That it's got that feel. But anyway, sidebar.
Yeah, not a lot of nice hotels either. And that's one of the reasons why some of the big track meets are not going to be held there, because there's just crappy hotel accommodations out there.
Yeah, we stayed closer to Portland, or in between Portland and Eugene, just because we are hotel snobs. Anyways, back to the matter.
There's definitely no Four Seasons, Dre. No Pendry.
It's all good. Okay.
All right. So the next thing that we're seeing that I think is really, really big, we're in a very pro-entrepreneur environment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say that again. We're in a very pro-entrepreneur environment. If you've ever thought about starting a business, if you ever thought about buying a business, the regulations, the policies are really, really helpful for those who are entrepreneurial. And I'll give you a couple of examples. Mm-hmm. For one, and I don't know if folks are paying attention to this, we've always had the SBA. The SBA is a Small Business Administration. It's a loan program that helps to enhance the borrowing ability of entrepreneurs. And so there's limits to it, right? Like how much they'll lend to you, the terms, like the SBA establishes the terms, sets the limits, and then the banks actually make the loans. And the SBA effectively becomes like a co-borrower with for your loan. They're like a co-signer. They basically backstop like 98% of the loan, so that if the loan is made by the bank and you as the borrower can't pay it, the government steps in to pay it. And that is a great partner to have as a business owner, whether you're buying a business. And we did a show like almost a year ago about, what do we call it? ETA, Entrepreneurship Through Acquisition.
Yes.
Right? Whether you're starting a business or buying a business, you need to be paying attention to the fact that the SBA loan limits have literally doubled in the last year and a half. It used to be that if you were getting what was called a 7A loan, and a 7A loan is one that you could use like for working capital plus the operating capital you need for the business, whether it's a startup or whether you're buying a business. The number used to be $5 million. They've doubled it to $10 million. So what that means is like you can buy more business, a lot more business now with $10 million in financing as opposed to $5 million as a cap.
So here's an interesting dichotomy. Loan limits for starting businesses or acquiring businesses have doubled, but loan limits for borrowing to pay for education have been capped.
Mm-hmm.
That tells you something about priorities. and targets. Mm-hmm. Like, why would you, what business reason is there to lower limits on borrowing for education?
Yeah. No, that's a fact.
I just, it's just interesting to in a way that that hurts like just regular hardworking people. Like, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Yeah. And we just got to pay attention to it. Like, this administration is valuing one thing at the expense of another. Yep. They're valuing entrepreneurship at the expense of education. And this is a president who famously ran and bankrupted a for-profit college.
Mm-hmm.
So moving on. So there's 7A loans for operating businesses. The 504 loans are for real estate. And you can now have a combination of $10 million between the two. Another thing that's happening is that the guarantee program got a lot bigger. They've increased it to $45 billion of loan guarantees across the 7A and 504 programs of the SBA.
Billion with a B.
$45 billion. And in addition, and this is, again, for, like Trump's a xenophobe. Like, he's doing everything he can do to make it more difficult for immigrants. So they've added new rules that requires you to be a 100% U.S. citizen in order to get an SBA loan. It excludes green card holders. Right?
Yeah.
Again, we're just holding up the mirror. If you're an American citizen with an entrepreneurial bone in your body, like, yo, he's kind of like saying, here's what we want you to do.
Mm-hmm.
Take out a loan.
Yep.
Next, since we talked about the 7A loan, let's just talk about some of the requirements. So, like, it just needs to be for a small business. Like, what's a small business? It's a company with less than 500 employees. It's a company with average revenue less than $7.5 million. It's a company with a net worth that is under $15 million and net income under $5 million. So, like, you can, this is the money for you to buy the HVAC company in your town. It's the money for you to buy the small apartment complex that you've been driving by for 20 years. Or maybe you used to live there back in the day. What else? So to qualify, you cannot have had any defaults on any government loan. So that would include your taxes and your student loans. So you can't be in delinquent or in default on any loans. And they also have typically a debt service coverage ratio requirement. I know it's a lot of words.
Break that down for regular people.
Yeah, effectively it means that you've got to make, if your loan payment is a dollar, the profits of the business has to be at least $1.10.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be a debt service coverage ratio of 1.1 or higher, right? It'd be great if it's two times. Like, my loan payment's a dollar, my profits are $2, right? But at a minimum, it's got to be $1.10.
Mm-hmm.
Other requirements for this 7A loan, you've got to have good credit, 640 to 680, right? That's not crazy good. Like, that's like middle good.
Yeah, it's like, it's good. It's not excellent, but it's good.
Yeah, for sure.
Literally, according to their measures, the credit agencies.
Mm-hmm. And then you've got to put some amount of money in. You need typically about 10% down. Imagine there's a business that's grossing $5 million in sales and its net income is $1 million. You could buy that business for $5 million and you got to put down $500K. Now look, $500K ain't small chump change, but you could raise it from your 401K. Like, you can use your 401K through something called ROBS, rollover as a business startup. Mm-hmm. And you can roll dollars into the deal. You can get three or four of your friends to do the same thing, and you came up with the $500K. The only catch, any owner that has at least 20% of the equity needs to be a personal guarantor on the loan. And you might have to post your home as collateral if you've got a lot of real estate equity.
Mm-hmm.
Other things that are pro-entrepreneur. We talked about this bonus depreciation. Again, this allows for 100% tax write-off. So what are some of the things that will qualify for this? Okay, any tangible personal property. So that would include manufacturing tools, office furniture, machinery, and any software purchases, as long as you're using these things for business purposes at least 50% of the time, you get to write off dollar for dollar 100% of that expense in year one. So imagine I bought that business that, you know, grosses $5 million and it nets $1 million. And imagine I needed to buy some new equipment for it. I need to put in, let's say, $300,000 of new capital to, you know, buy more HVAC equipment. I now get to basically say, well, my profits aren't $1 million, it's $700K.
Right.
Where historically I'd have to amortize it over a number of years, let's say 10 years, where I would basically take, let's say, $100K a year for 3 years as expense, which means I'm paying more in taxes over those next 3 years. So other things that qualify, so heavy vehicles, so this would be like a crossover SUV, a truck, a cargo van, anything over 6,000 pounds. Clients of ours just bought a cargo van to start doing last mile delivery for Amazon. Another client of ours just bought one of those sprinters to do transportation for people back and forth. I'm telling you, like, pay attention to this stuff.
Yes.
Other tax changes. There is a 20%. They call it QBI deduction. QBI is qualified business income deduction. So if you've got an LLC that's taxed as either an S corp or a partnership, or even if you're a sole proprietor, you can write off 20% of your income as a deduction, which is putting more money in your pocket. This is stuff you should be talking about with your tax accountant. Finally, we're also seeing higher interest rates because the government is spending more money. It's deficit spending. The world doesn't like it. We're seeing rates higher. So, like, if you're waiting for rates to drop, they're probably not going to drop anytime soon. We got a war happening over in Iran. Gas prices are going through the roof. I'm in, you know, Oregon, the West Coast. Like, gas is like $6 out here.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So, in summary, we're seeing higher profits for companies, really at the expense of people, right? Because the margins they're earning is because they're charging more. We're seeing higher. Inflation's been running back. But we're seeing interest rates high as well. And a very pro-entrepreneur, pro-business environment in this administration.
The September Federal Reserve meeting will be interesting.
Yeah, it sure will. It sure will. So we've held up the mirror. Why don't we go to break? We come back. We'll just take like a few minutes. And we've already kind of given the advice, but let's come back from break and we'll walk through things that you should be thinking about doing to survive what's left of this administration. I'm Alan Boomer.
I'm Andrea Gray.
And we are the Momentum Advisors. The pathway to freedom is leading to the North Star.
Here's what happened when one journalist reported on DEI programs.
I decided to just focus on the University of Michigan. I obtained internal documents that showed that the school had spent about $250 million on DEI programs. I spent 2 weeks in Ann Arbor talking to everybody I could find. The unintended consequences of these programs, they had sort of left everybody dissatisfied. And this expensive machinery the school had built just imploded. If you're a journalist, you are not on anyone's team. All you're trying to do is figure out as many of the facts as you can gather. The facts are going to guide you to where the story lands. You're not taking sides. I'm Nick Confessori. I'm an investigations reporter for the New York Times.
Journalists like Nick follow the facts wherever they lead. They go where news breaks, get answers firsthand, and publish what they find. That's fact-based reporting. Seek it out if you don't already. Momentum.
All right, we're back. So, Dre, I'll give it to you. Your parting wisdom as you head into your new career, as you take a step back from the podcast, but still plan to come back in the future, what advice do you have for surviving this administration?
So, believe it or not, you know, I'm a very simple person in terms of like how I think about things and how I approach things. It's the same as any other time. And some of my advice is kind of boring. It's not exciting. It may not be sexy, but it's like, first, just start thinking about what your goals are. What are your goals? If you have a goal or an idea to start a business, this might be a good time to do it. If that's not your goal, we're not saying go start a business if it's not part of your goal. Yeah. But if there's something that you want to do or a skill that you have, a service that you believe you can provide at an elite level, this is probably a good time to explore starting a business around that. So it's not arbitrary, right? Like all my advice that I ever give, whether it's financial or otherwise, starts with what do you want to do?
Mm-hmm. I love that.
And what is your current financial position to be able to do it, right? Alan walked us through some of the requirements, the eligibility requirements for the small business loans and some of the other borrowing programs that are favorable to entrepreneurs. You got to be starting with something.
Mm-hmm.
So think about
what
your goals are, but also
I almost
sang
it. You're stuck in
some of us might be stuck in the middle and the pain is thunder. But no, seriously, it's think about what your goals are for yourself, but also be honest about your current financial position, because all of these things sound great, but you have to be in a position to be able to do it. So it might be a good time to explore starting a business.
Agreed. Next, I'll go idea for idea. Real estate is a great thing to be investing in.
Mm-hmm.
If that's your goal, if you can afford it, if you've got the cash. Why do I say that? As I think about, like, this administration's really like supercharging AI. Data centers going up left and right. That's real estate.
Yeah. Sometimes we limit real estate in our minds to homes that we live in. More vast than that.
For sure. So whether you invest in a data center or whether you buy into an apartment complex or a two-family home, I think like real estate is one of those things where, like, when we think about the job losses that will come from AI, there's certain things you still need. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to eat food, you got to live somewhere. Right?
Yeah.
And they're not manufacturing any more land, and people are always going to need somewhere to stay. And the tax laws are lined up in a way that's benefiting you if you make that investment. Interest rates aren't the best, I'll give you that. But again, we date the rate and we marry the home or marry the property. So I think real estate's another big one. Trey, you're up. Next one.
Invest in the stock market. You know, we talked about the popularity of the episode, the questions. And one of the questions I often get, family, friends, sometimes clients, is this a good time to invest in the stock market? Honestly, the answer is always yes. Yeah, almost always yes. And it, again, goes back to goals, where you are and what you're investing for. If you're investing for the long term, we have talked at length about what the stock market has done over time. If you've got some money that's not in the market and you're asking, is it a good time to do that? It really depends on what you plan to use the money for and when. But if you've got some money that you don't need for a bit being more than a year, maybe 2 years, yeah, invest some in the stock market. We're not saying all of it necessarily, but it's often, I hate to say always, but it's often a good time to invest in the stock market. We can come up with 15 reasons why it wouldn't be, but there's equally as many reasons why it would be a good time.
Love that. And then finally, I'm just going to tell y'all to vote. There's so much apathy when people feel like their vote doesn't matter. But it does. And these midterms are historic. These midterms matter. The chance to like give some sort of check and balance, like right now, there's none. Whatever the Republicans come up with, it's almost unchecked. If the House flips, if the Senate flips, this president will not be able to run the table in the way that he's been running the table. And
I'll go a step further.
Yeah.
Right. Go ahead. Not just vote. Be educated about the voting process. And I don't mean registering and going to the polls and making your selections. Be knowledgeable about the candidates, what they've done historically, if what they're promising lines up with how they've made decisions in the past. Even if they are a new candidate and there's no voting record to compare what you're hearing from them to that, just understand how civics work. Not just at the federal level, but some of these things have a greater impact to all of us locally at the state level in our municipalities. So, you know, we like to use AI to Google search or to search for any and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Look into how things work in your town. Go to the Board of Education meetings. Go to the town council meetings.
Yep.
We just had in the congressional district where we live in, we just had a primary and talking about certain track and field not getting the attention. There was a debate and it was televised, but it was more available through streaming than it was on local television. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of people didn't know. But like, take advantage of the free information that's out there to learn how things work, because it's beyond just the candidate.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Yeah, I think when this administration is over with, and sadly, you know, Trump is wearing his 2028 hat right now, we'll look back and I think in history we'll look back and say there was so much that was done that we should have questioned, that should not have been allowed to happen, but it did.
Mm-hmm.
It happened. But in my life, and I hope in your life, we also want to make sure that you're good financially, that you've paid attention, that you've made the right moves to make sure that your household is good and the people around you are good. And we believe that there is an opportunity for you to do just that by continuing to execute your financial plan and like maybe expedite some things if you haven't started them yet. So hopefully we gave some good advice today, some good perspective. And Dre, again, as we sign off here, I just want to say thank you one more time for those 107 episodes. And I just look forward to all the great things you're going to do moving forward. You know, I will miss you, but at the same time, you ain't going nowhere. You're still in my life. We got a party coming up. You're coming to, I hope.
Yes. And, yes. Yeah. I'm on my way back from somewhere else to be there to celebrate.
That's it. Any final comments from you before we wrap up, my sister?
It's just a thank you. Thank you to everyone for continuing to listen. Thank you, Alan. I know I give you a hard time publicly about conversations we had years and years and years ago about me coming into this career. But one of the reasons why I was able to make this pivot that I've made recently is because I've been working with you and I saw what is possible. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for the listeners and for you and my Momentum family, you know, this is not about choosing you guys or somebody else. This was about choosing me. Mm-hmm. And I'm forever grateful. If I had not spent the 5.5 years here, I may not know that this is possible.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm forever grateful. Yeah. And let's just keep doing big things.
That's it. That's it. That's it. Well, listen, the podcast will be back. Dre, do you have any websites or socials you want to shout before we dip out?
Yeah. So I just recently, and it was hard, I just recently updated LinkedIn. You can still find me on LinkedIn. There's more specific ways to get to me through LinkedIn. I have a new email address, new phone number, but all that information's out there.
Okay. All right, cool. So Andrea Gray on LinkedIn. Make sure you get the right Andrea Gray. It's with an A, not an E.
Yes, Gray with an A. I think they'll know by the picture.
That's cool. Well, listen, the podcast will be back next week. I'm Alan Boomer.
I'm Andrea Gray.
And we are the Momentum Advisors. Momentum.